You know John Horvath. He's been on the show before. He's a scholar, researcher, educator, international speaker, author of the book Return to Order, which I highly recommend, returntoorder.org, O-R-G. His writings have appeared worldwide, including the Wall Street Journal, the Christian Post, the American Thinker, The Blaze, Crisis, Fox News, and the Washington Times. For more than two decades, he's been researching and writing about what's going wrong with America's culture and economy, an effort that culminated in the groundbreaking release of his award-winning book, Return to Order, From a Frenzied Economy to an Organic Christian Society. So I'd love to welcome back to the show, and maybe, just maybe, John has an answer to, hey, wait, how do you bail out a broke economy? John, welcome to the True Money Show.
Great to be on the show. It's always good to be back.
Don't you love that bit? That is some funny stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just feeling he's got it right. I mean, he's got the right questions, and yeah, there are not a lot of answers out there. But anyway, yeah, there definitely is a problem.
Yeah, those two guys. So the I don't know if you've seen Clark and Dodd, but the bald-headed fellow has actually passed away, and he was just the absolute best. These two got together, just the straight man and the comedy lines. They could deliver it so well and so fabulously, and they're dealing with topics that kind of everybody talks about, or maybe around the dinner table or at a cocktail party or something, but they talk about it more in somber tones. These guys do it with all hilarity, and it really is really good stuff.
Right. Oh, no. That is the topic today, because we are in such a drastic situation as far as the economy is concerned, and it's, you know, it's not getting better.
Well, so I really was when I saw your article, and then most recently, by the way, John has a new one out, relatively new, called "Is This the End of the Cruise Ship Economy?" A reference back to an analogy he made in the book Return to Order. Both of these articles, guys, would be worthy of your consideration. You can go to returntoorder.org and find all of John's writings there. So I wanted to go through what happens when bailouts no longer work. And, you know, I'm not sure that anybody's going to be satisfied with our answers, but I hope they'll at least ponder them seriously enough to say, well, what other answers are there, just like our little comedians couldn't do.
So, right, yeah.
So the first one is this. You describe the dynamic. This is what you say, and it's a quote. You just the dynamics of postmodern economics. You describe that as defying logic, and I agree. But lately, I've been running into people, and I'm talking more and more people, and people who probably should know better, apparently agreeing with this nonsense. So I guess my question is it possible that through truly massive propaganda, indoctrination, whatever you want to call it, is it possible to not only change the thoughts of people, but to fundamentally alter what is real? I mean, are you and me wrong, John? maybe our ship has left and has gone and sunk, and there is a new economic reality. What do you say?
No, there's definitely not. I mean, economics is part of human action. It's the way, it's the manner in which we produce and consume and interact economically, and it follows rules. And these rules, they don't change, just like human nature. So the left obviously doesn't agree with that. They think human nature can change, and we do have we can change the way we are, the way our identity are, whatever. But economics doesn't work that way. You still have to pay. Someone has to pay in the end. And, you know, it's, I think the analogy that we might use is addiction, because that's what it is. You know, we're bailing out, and it becomes an addiction. And it's harder and harder to get out of the addiction. But, you know, you just want more and more and more. And that's exactly what's happening.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's just because maybe we got similar upbringings, we read the same books, or we have the same socioeconomic background. I don't know, but when I read your writing, it always affirms what I believe. And so listen to this, guys. I think you'll appreciate it. Everyone used to know. And, you know, that's a statement of fact. And I believe, and I agree, everyone used to know that there is no such thing as a free lunch, and that flawed financial acts always have consequences. Common sense dictates that national economies should function like home economies. I couldn't agree more. People should not spend more than they make or take unreasonable risk. Everyone should always save for a rainy day. John says those are all things that we've always known, always believed. They're rules. You can't change them. But don't you think that the architects of the slave new world, as I call it, are actually trying to build an alternate reality where they say that's not true, that none of those truths are true?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like the new economic
modern monetary
theory. Yeah. Exactly. That you can borrow as much as you want, as long as you're borrowing your own, in your own currency, you could just keep going indefinitely. It is a Ponzi scheme. It's a kicking the can down the road. There are a lot of names for it. So many people have done it before. It's not a new thing. It's a scam, and these scams have plagued us for all, you know, ever since the beginning. But these are huge scams. They're big scams, and they're just and they're on a scale. Now they're on a scale that's so massive that I think I know a lot of economists are saying they don't work as well as they did before.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm going to get to that point in a little while. I love a line you put in here. Let me do one question before that though, and that's this. Here's a line from John's article. What happens when bailouts no longer work? He says suddenly everything is free. Stimulus checks, benefits, paycheck loans, and medical care, they're all free. John, I was watching a commercial the other day. By the way, I need to turn the television off forever because it never helps me. anyway, you used to be able to get a little leisure out of it. I cannot do that anymore. So the commercial comes on, and it's this Medicare commercial, and they're trying to get everybody into the it's called, I think, not D, that's the drug one. I think it's C. So you can either do the traditional Medicare A and B and D, add drugs, or you can do C, which is this all pay, you know, that basically pays for everything. Well, anyway, the guy goes on and on and on, you know, hey, you're going to get dental care, you're going to get vision, you actually get membership to a health club, you're going to get boom. He goes boom, 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 boom. And it's possible you can get all of this for a $0 premium. And I just almost fell out of my chair. It's like, you just promised me the world and told me it costs nothing.
Right, exactly.
I'm starting to feel like, you tell me if you feel this way, I'm starting to feel like paying for things is idiotic. Or, worse still, maybe David Simpson shouldn't be paid for the work he does. Maybe I'm overcharging people, John. What do you think?
Right, yeah, I mean, it does get that impression, because if you don't have to work, why work for it? You know, let's just get it free. I mean, that is their world. That is the world of the left. The world of the left doesn't like effort, doesn't like discipline. It doesn't like the free will. The free will has consequences, and so everything is structures. Everything is social structures and constructs and things that are, you know, that you cannot change. You are that way because you cannot change. And so then government can take care of everything. If you can't change it, the government can take care of everything. But in a free society where we take responsibility for our acts, it doesn't work that way.
Well, I tell you, it is the freeness is about to kill me. And, you know, this all not all started with, but, I mean, I remember the Internet first getting ramped up and moving on, and that was the bait-and-switch thing they used to do, was they'd say, oh, come on, our website, you get a free this, free that, free something, right? Or we're going to do all we're promising you for free. And they did, usually, and they started off that way. And then eventually they started adding premium service and, you know, oh, all you got to do now is sign up and give us, you know, $25 a month and you'll have all the other things that you want. And the free stuff started to kind of dwindle in value, and the paid stuff came back to fruition. But there was this huge bait and switch for free. And I remember even in my own business, there was all these pressures to start giving things away. You know, come on, Dave, I can get that free online. And you know, and you just start going, but I can't get it free anywhere. You know, I work for a living.
Right, yeah. And, you know, I've thought about that, you know, and they do that to because it used to be, you know, you would get goods and services based on relationships, and relationships have that equity, that free, they are free. And they don't have those relationships anymore, and so they offer this free, you know, gratuitous things, the offers and things to get you into a relationship. In a society where you have relationships, you know, it smooths those things over. It helps to create an atmosphere that is conducive to business. And, you know, I think they're trying to ape that type of relationship that usually existed in a society where people actually did things for free or helped people out, you know, and charity that it used to exist. And you know, they're trying to ape that system and say, well, here, it's free. But it has a hook on it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think we ought to keep the idea of relationship in mind, guys, when we start talking about the solution. One of the solutions, of course, is a monumental relationship with the one being that actually matters. But what you said there about the gratuitous gifts and all these kind of things, You know, I remember when I was practicing law a long time ago, they have, you know, they always had the pro bono project in, mm-hmm. in your bar association, and you know, you're supposed to give a certain number of hours away, but they even, you know, even then they would tell you, but you have to choose what you're going to give away. You don't have to give away everything. In other words, there's a limit to charity. I can't give away everything. I got to feed a family, you know?
Right, yeah.
And so there was still some recognition that, hey, you have a duty to give something away to help your society, but at the same time, you can't give away everything. And that's such a normal and right balance that it makes perfect sense to me. But you know, giving away the kitchen sink doesn't.
Right, right. And, you know, and, you know, with these big companies that can afford to do that, or at least to addict you, and it is here it becomes an addiction, not a gratuitous relationship or a relationship where you're a voluntary relationship, you know, it becomes, well, everybody needs internet. You are stuck. You have to find some way to get it. And, you know, we can do it, but it comes attached to all sorts of strings.
Yeah. 844-527-8723. This is David Simpson. I'm on the air with Mr. John Horvat. John has written a book called Return to Order. That's actually two or three books ago, I think. But you can find him on returntoorder.org. And we're reviewing his article, What Happens When Bailouts No Longer Work. I think another one in a very similar vein is the one he just recently released called Is This the End of Our Cruise Ship Economy? Both of them are worth your read and your consideration. He mentioned addiction as a good analogy, kind of what's going on. And, boy, I don't think I could come up with a better one than that, John. And so if you guys are feeling somewhat, I will use the word trapped, but think about more like stuck on something. If you feel like you're running in circles, it might be because you're part of this addictive process and you got to think your way out of it. And there is no other way than to first put the light on the issue itself. If you have a question for John, call 844-527-8723. I have the chat room open, and we have about three dozen chatters in there. So if you have a question for John, you can post it there. I might see it in time to ask him. And you can, of course, email me, david@tffco.com, or my new email, truemoneyshow@crusadechannel.com. Okay, so John, another line in here that I made a question out of, but it's, the line is this: so many people have embraced debt and entitlements as a way of life. When things get rough, people go to the government to rescue them from disaster. You know, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I am getting older, but I mean, I was a little boy, and my dad just drummed in my head that governments do not produce anything. They've got to take their money from the productive sector, and we agree to that. It's called taxation for the common good. At least that's the theory. Mm-hmm. Now there's a thing called, and I know you've heard it, I'll put it in the air finger quotes, federal money. Mm-hmm. It's a free ride for everyone. I keep asking the same question, but you know, where do they get their money from? But clearly, I'm the stupid one, and everyone else has figured out that there's a tree in the back of the White House that money falls off of, and they rake up and hand it out to people. How do we rectify that problem? I mean, my goodness, there is no money in Washington, D.C. Am I right or am I wrong?
Right. I mean, we are selling debt. That is the source of our money. We don't collect enough in taxes, and we don't want to raise the taxes because of political problems. But it is selling debt, and because we have the reserve currency, because we are the biggest economy and the best economy around, people want to buy our debt because it has value. But the minute that value goes down, and the minute people perceive that maybe that debt will not get paid, or will be defaulted, or we won't be able to pay as soon as we think we could pay, that then we won't be able to do that. That's the reality of it. And you know, I think we need to think in those terms that you know, you can't live on debt all your life. You have to somehow. There comes a time of reckoning, and that time could very easily happen soon, especially with the new debts that are, you know, they're coming up.
They're monumental. So when you wrote your book Return to Order, I recall the analogy being basically a playboy, a trust fund child, whatever you want to call it, who had stored capital. In other words, he was living off of some largesse from, let's just say, dad or granddad or all the above. And then he's running through that trust fund on a cruise ship. And then, of course, the trust actually runs out. So then he starts using markers or debt to keep going because, well, heck, who wants to stop having fun? Where do you put us in that paradigm? Do we have any reserve capital that we're still spending, or are we 100% on the credit cards?
That's hard to say. I mean, we do have a real economy. I mean, there is goods and services being produced. I mean, we're amazing from that point of view. We are an amazingly enterprising people, so I'm not one to just say it's all over. But, you know, I think that the problem is that we have the wrong model. The model of the cruise ship is not the way you want to run your life. You know, you cannot live on a never-ending cruise. You have to live in the real world, where you know that ship might be a cargo ship. It might be a battleship.